Hello, good people, and welcome to what is episode 10 of this season of the Brunswick Beer Collective. As per usual, I'm Chris Shorten, with me is Jeffrey Chee.
G'day.
And Paul Christoph.
Good evening.
And they're both looking at their phones as usual, but they're actually looking at what they're supposed to be saying. So I feel like...
And there's no video this week, so there's no video, because remember the video that is up on Instagram.
That's true.
Yeah,
we're basically both looking at our phones the entire time, except when I'm waving my hands like a crazy person.
Well, no, but I haven't released the real, like, full video.
Yeah.
So
I'm still waving my hands like a crazy person.
Yeah. Oh, it's nothing but hand waving and looking at phones.
There's the confused look on my face. when you tell me I haven't had the beer that I thought I remembered having.
Except you weren't in the country.
Yeah.
You were drinking endless non-alcoholic malt beers.
Shams, I tell you, shams.
Anyway, so there's been a lot going on this week. It's towards the end of winter here. Oh, it's the start of spring, essentially. Except if you go by the pagan calendar, then it's something different.
And if you go by the weather, it's still the middle of winter.
If you go by the weather, it's
still fucking freezing.
One of the coldest winter days we've had.
So it's sort of like, you know, I still feel like we're in the end of finding more and more ways to fill in our time because, you know, we can't be in the sun.
Correct.
So I just wanted to start with a few things. So on Friday, we were at a Touro. It was Mr. Christoph's birthday.
It was.
He's 21 again.
Always 21.
Yeah. That joke's getting old now. I really should stop telling it.
Maybe for your birthday we will,
Good point.
You'll be 25 again or something.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so we were talking with the bar lady then. She was telling us about how...
Tiffany,
thank you. About how they had been given a load of cherries. Was it cherries?
Cherries, yep.
Cherries, and that because they had been given all these cherries, they decided that they were just going to say, all right, let's just make a beer out of it. And she's part of the Pink Boot Society, which is the Society of Women Brewers, which I only just discovered existed, which I think is really, really awesome.
Yeah, the rest of us have known it existed for at least a month, but
continue. And I'm feeling out of the loop. But anyway, it got me thinking. So so they're obviously making that out of cherries. Now, the other thing that's going on is in this very house, the ale house specifically, will be us three, along with several others, running the fabled Nutella pop-up.
Oh, yes, the most famous pop-up in worldwide.
It's definitely the most famous Nutella pop-up worldwide. I think that's almost
a
fact.
We can safely say that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't heard about it, that would be more surprising than if we're now telling you about it.
Exactly.
Those two are the same thing. Continue.
It's been a long week.
It's been a very
and it's
long
Monday.
Week.
But it got me thinking, you know, we have like chocolate stouts, we have milk stouts. Could there be a Nutella stout?
Well, I mean, there are hazelnut porters. There are hazelnut chocolate porters. There's one by Heretic.
The hazelnut brown from Rogue is one of my favourite sort of go-to beers.
So I think it's absolutely feasible. In fact, it would surprise me if it hasn't been done. Mm.
So I guess this is a shout out to our friends at Moondog, our friends at Seven Cent, our friends at Mountain Goat.
And one of those non-existent Italian craft brewers you keep talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. They will almost certainly be able to put together.
But there's
a brewer in Piedmont or something.
But any of these guys, if you want to take up the challenge of actually making a Nutella beer, we'd be very curious to hear. Obviously, it's not won't be there ready in time for the pop-up, but... I think it's a really cool, solid idea.
It's probably going to be healthier than Nutella, too.
Most likely. I don't know what it would be.
Hard to not be healthier than Nutella.
Exactly. But anyway.
Just as a side point, there are at least 12 Nutella beers in existence.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Nutella Speedway Stout.
There's a Nutella Speedway Stout. I have to find that now.
That's the new grapefruit sculpt.
That's right. The unicorn.
The unicorn.
That's right.
The white whale.
Anyway. So that was a big thing I wanted to flag because I feel like it's kind of cool. But I was pretty low on beer ventures this week, but you guys did a hell of a lot.
Oh, we did a lot of beer venturing.
Yeah, that's right. So after celebrating your birthday on Friday...
Which ended prematurely because we all just...
We all just hit a wall.
We're not kidding when we say it's been a long week. We all pretty much were ready to go to bed at 12.
That's right.
Plus, we had a very, very good feed at Rockwell & Sons.
We did. And I've been drinking since 1, so that all meant...
But
I didn't fall asleep.
You didn't fall asleep.
Which, that's true. I saw you awake the whole time.
That's right. It's one of the most remarkable things. I don't think we'll ever see that again. This is a one-off glitch or something.
No. Although, in saying that, you wanted... based on the itinerary you told me, you wanted any places that would be on the nap list.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
But he was at a place on the banned list.
I was the first on the bad news. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no, on Saturday we were going to be putting up posters to
for the aforementioned pop up.
That's right. But the there was a technical issue. But we instead decided that we would just go on a pub crawl around Thornbury.
But and can I point out that the two of them were basically, you know, the idea was actually that you were going to do the pub crawl and do the posters.
Well, it made sense because the people that would be interested in coming to the pop up would be walking up and down, you know, the high streets.
Oh, I think it's a genius idea.
Yeah, we thought we were going to do that. We thought we'd just plaster all the streets with these posters.
Yeah.
But it was a pub crawl we'd done before.
Yes.
Actually, but we thought we'd revisit it in a more sober setting.
Yeah. And it was good. I mean, start at the retreat.
Raccoon Club.
Raccoon Club. Yes.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long week.
Retreat versus Raccoon Club?
They're quite different.
Quite different. Yes.
So, but the Raccoon Club is where I started my craft beer adventure. I'm sure I've mentioned this before, so I won't labour the point. But we started there, but it was Carwin Cellar's first birthday. I reckon that was probably the highlight of of the day, because not only did we get to go to Carwin Cellar's first birthday, but it was almost like this massive gathering of the craft beer fraternity.
Yeah, everybody you know on Untapped or you've seen on a podcast or around town was there.
Yeah, like we ran into a good friend of ours who checks in beers as soon as we check them in on Untapped. Yeah. She was there. And we ran into the guys from Beer Thread who just walked up to us and said, "Oh, you're the Brunswick Beer Collective guys."
Yeah.
And
hey!
So that was cool.
Yeah, and I had no idea that the main guy behind it is the guy that lives across the, literally across the apartment across from me.
White Jeff.
White Jeff. Remember White Jeff? Yeah.
So he's like me in more ways than we ever expected.
It's a very, very small craft beer world.
That's right.
And Hoppy Pete was there.
I don't know.
From Friday.
Oh!
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So basically, I guess, what happened, you know, because I wasn't actually there, I was in a different city, but what happened was a convergence of all the craft beer. I mean, it's a wonder you guys could actually, like, hang out in the same bar. There would have been security.
Somebody had put up a, beacon, and everyone was just like...
Well,
as it turns out, Carwin Cellar's did.
Well, I think Carwin Cellar's having their first birthday.
That was the beacon.
That was the beacon.
For those outside of outside of this city, outside of this country, Carwin Cellar's is a really interesting place because it's essentially from the front, it just looks like a regular bottle shop.
Yeah.
From the back, it's got an amazingly stupid collection of on tap beers.
And spirits, of course. Amazing craft spirits.
But what's really unique is the fact that, and I suppose you get this sometimes, there's that place in South Yarra that does it as well. No, not South Yarra, in Paran.
The Chapel Street Cellars.
Yeah.
Yes.
But in terms of Carwin Cellars, it does the great thing where pretty much that you just find a bottled beer in the bottle shop, but you just pick it up, you pay like a dollar corkage or something. And then you get to drink it at the back.
Mm.
I mean, what I really like about it is the fact that it covers every possible market. It's from the people who can't really afford, like, the super priced ones on tap. You can just buy something relatively cheap in the bottle shop, and then you're done.
Yeah, you don't see enough of that around.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Anyway, so you guys were at the Convergence.
Yes.
And that was fantastic.
Yeah.
With quite a few Belgian beers.
There were, weren't there? There were
the aged one, the one that was aged for 2 years.
The Boone 2 year lambic.
Yeah, that was really good.
2 year lambic or 2 year creek, one or the other.
Yeah, it had lost a lot of its carbonation, but it wasn't soft as such. It was just.
But
this
really made it a lot less, because you know a lot of sours are like in your face tart when you drink them. It didn't have that. It meant you could ease into this beer, and it was quite a few sours, a couple of Belgian ales. It was the the Mano Negra, the chili stout.
Yeah, the chili stout.
I reckon that was beer of the day for me.
That was really good.
That was really, really nice.
It wasn't overly chilly either, but some of the chili stouts, they try to punch you in the face. This was kind of like the chicken we had.
Oh.
You know, it was definitely chilly. That's hot, but it wasn't in your face hot. But it worked really well.
So you could actually taste the thing behind the chili.
Yeah.
Like you could taste the chocolate stout.
It was really nice.
The chili actually augmented it really well. So that was really cool. But we managed to control ourselves. We managed to not spend the entire night there.
Look,
we also managed to not drink any more beer on the rest of this pub crawl.
We did, didn't we?
We found went to that.
Look, I'm already freaked out now. I don't know who I'm talking to anymore.
So I don't know if this is what happens. Let's talk about G&Ts and wine on this podcast.
I think we can.
But I think we definitely have to mention Kitty Somerset.
Yes, that place was awesome.
So we went in there just because we saw the font.
Mm.
And I'd just seen the Microsoft 19. There were discussions on the web about the new Google font. And somebody goes, oh, other brands that you know, have changed their font a few times. And the original Microsoft logo, I always assume was the one that, you know, we knew in the 90s and that was around in the 80s too. No, the first ever Microsoft font. It's this crazy, like, in-your-face 1970s, like, the future is here font. It's the coolest thing ever. I'm like, oh my God, this Kitty Somerset font reminds me of the Microsoft font.
Well, where is this place?
On High Street.
It's on High Street in Thornbury.
We walked in there. They've been around for 6 years.
I would have run past that place I don't know how many times.
So what was it like on the inside?
The font was actually inspired by Bioshock.
Oh. Well,
so the game Bioshock has that font.
Yeah. Okay, so it kind of went full circle.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, inside it's just lots of couches, cool stuff. They're just real neighborhood type place. They have nice selection of wines and just cocktails. It's just nothing, not trying to do anything, just trying to be a really nice neighborhood.
Yeah, it was like a fireplace. It felt like you...
Trivial Pursuit? We spent an hour just playing Trivial Pursuit. Well, not playing Trivial Pursuit. Jeff was reading out...
questions.
And we were trying to guess
You mean nobody won a wedge. That's what you're trying to do.
Nobody won a wedge.
No.
But it was really... definitely go back.
Absolutely.
Really cool find. Mm. 6 years it's been there.
So I guess I should bring up the... Because I know this happened because I saw it on Instagram. So I feel like the last place you guys ended up was the new... place up the road from here.
Yes.
Yes.
Now the East Brunswick Hotel, rising out of the ashes of the East Brunswick Club.
Mm.
Which, East Brunswick Club closed like 2-3 years ago?
At least 3 years ago.
I think 3 years ago. 2012. Definitely closed in 2012. Yeah. So it's actually a little... It's interesting. If you think about all the places that have kind of redone themselves through time, you can kind of put them into two categories. And they're very obvious categories. They're the category of the places where... they've redone them and they pretty much look like they could have been like that the whole time.
Mm.
So places like the Rainbow, I guess the Great Northern to a lesser extent, they kind of reinvented themselves in terms of being a beer pub. They didn't really do much in terms of the interior.
Mm.
But then you've got places like Percy's, which looks nothing like what it used to look like. And the East Brunswick Hotel is another good example of that, where it's now... I mean, you saw when we walked past on the way down here. It's shiny and bright and neon-y.
It's very new.
Yeah, it's very new.
It's like a beacon.
It's very now.
Right. It's very now.
That's is that right. now? Is that what now is?
It is what now is.
Hmm. I'm clearly not up with what now is.
That's only the ground floor.
Okay.
So there is a... I won't go into details because, I mean, Jeff will be writing a review on the City Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it's got... You can tell it's early days. But it's certainly not bad, and there's a lot of potential there. And we had a bit of a discussion with the manager on duty on the night about their future plans in the coming months, and there's some, really interesting stuff. If they could go one of two ways. If they get it wrong, it'd be disappointing, but if they get it right, it could be a pretty awesome addition to the area.
I mean, you will always get the people who complain that it's not like it used to be, and, you know, they've killed the old vibe and stuff, but I would normally kind of lean that way, but I'm okay with that as long as they kind of,
if they can pull off what they're trying to achieve,
there's a lot of potential
really
there.
Yeah.
I think it could be a really cool place. So,
that fills me with confidence, because I didn't know what you guys were going
to
say here.
And it'd be kind of cool to have a place like that in this area as well.
Yeah,
it needs it. We're kind of lacking a kind of a bit more sort of shiny kind of glitzy place. We've got places like the place across the road and the Great Northern, which are sort of your old school pumps. We have no new school venues in the area. So,
yeah.
Well, I was actually having a conversation with someone about this a couple of weeks ago about one of my favourite pubs in Melbourne is the Napier Hotel.
Yep.
Probably the best Palmer's in town. But what was strange was they closed up for, I think they must have closed up for 9 months, maybe a year, for renovations and refurbishment.
Looks exactly the same.
Same, except the bathrooms are the most immaculate aluminium you'll ever see.
That's how long it took them to clean up those bathrooms.
Renovation. This wasn't like asbestos in the walls type situation, was it?
I think there'd be a lot of fumigating going on here.
And actually, it must be said that at the East Brunswick Hotel, that was one of, like, the bathrooms are amazing.
Oh, really, really nice bathrooms.
Like, if I lived near there, I would consider just trotting over there to go to the bathroom rather than go to the bathroom in my own house. Like, they're just amazing.
So what you're saying, you come for the beer, you stay for the bathroom.
They're kind of like Deco meets Japan meets just, I don't know, they're really just really nice.
I mean, there was no control panel on the toilet seat, let's not go too far, but you know, but yeah, you're right.
But the dryer was at the opposite end of the bathroom to the entrance. That was the only odd thing.
Yeah,
must be an electrical issue.
I'd say so. There'd be no other reason why you'd do that.
It's interesting. Alrighty. And we're back, and we're on to beer number one. And beer number one was actually, I don't remember what it is, but I remember it had a really cool name.
So
what is it?
It's called the hashtag, What Hop Is That Now?
From Hop Dog Beer Works.
From Hop Dog Beer Works.
Which, I mean, kind of breaks our rule of, you know, mentioning hops. But I'm okay with that.
Was that a rule?
I didn't realize that was a rule.
Okay, maybe it was my rule. So,
but yes, what is it? It's a
Southeast Coast IPA.
A Southeast Coast of America.
What's a good question?
Are you Southeast Coast?
It could be the Southeast Coast of Australia.
Is it Victoria?
It's a good question.
Where are these guys from?
Yeah, well, you know, really, there's not such a thing as a Florida IPA.
They're from South Nowra in New South Wales. So if they're in southern New South Wales, they would classify them as Southeast.
I reckon that's what it is.
Yeah, Southeast Coast of Australia.
It's not a Florida IPA.
No.
That's not a thing.
No.
Someone from Florida proved me otherwise, but yeah, Melbourne, Florida, maybe.
Yeah, Melbourne, Florida, that's right.
Not as silly as it sounds.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
You believe I was sat next to a man from Melbourne, Florida when I was in Japan. Flying from Osaka to
really?
Tokyo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what are the chances?
Well, was he like, you know, the American Paul?
Now, you know what he was like. He was like, you know the guy on The Simpsons with the cowboy hat?
Yeehaw!
Yeah, that guy?
Yes.
It was kind of like him. but in a good way. Like, it was, he was talking the whole time. Very interesting guy. Very nice guy. Yeah, Melbourne, Florida. Never met anyone from Melbourne, Florida before.
There you go. But so it does list an American IPA on Untappd, but I know that on the, I thought about this ahead after last week's controversy, and I actually read what it was at the bar. Southeast Coast IPA.
Look, I would like to think that's a Southeast Coast Australia.
I'm pretty sure it is. I think we've successfully concluded that's what it is.
Or at least if we say it often enough, then people
It'll
will
be
believe
true.
Us more.
And
than
I think
anyone
also,
else.
I think one of the things about this particular beer, so there's the What Hop Is That Now and the What Hop Is That, I think both of them are basically meant to be brewed with some mystery hop and you're meant to guess what it is.
Yeah.
We are not the people to guess that.
No.
I've got no idea.
I'd say it's brewed with a hop.
Yeah. The most interesting thing was when the BrewDog did that series where they brewed the exact same beer, but just with the only thing that was different was the hop.
Yeah, the IPA is dead serious.
And they had, and six of them were on tap here once. And it was the first time where it's like, okay, yes, I know that I like that hop more. I don't really like that hop. But I can't remember which one I liked and which one I didn't like. But at the time, it was like, oh, yeah. Like, you can really tell the difference.
That's the problem with drinking all six of them in one session.
Yeah. It's the only way to tell.
Well, I mean, it's dedication to the cause, but part of me kind of wishes that, you know, that was on and we could do that recording.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. Maybe it will come back.
Well, they still do. They still do it. I mean, it's just that you don't really get too many overseas beers here anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much local stuff
back
now.
In the day, it was 50% of the taps were foreign.
Anyway, okay, what is everyone else saying about
this?
Well,
people are loving
it. There's this Chorbake and
3.92. For start.
So many Paul.
So Paul Christoph says, not bad, too sweet though.
That is what I think. That is what I would have said afterwards. And so what do we think about it? But now you know.
Well, you're going to have to say it again.
But yeah, only 36 people have checked, have rated it. And 3.92, that is very high.
That is very high.
Right.
Steve S. at Brother Burger says big hoppy flavours.
Craig B. at Swan Lake Tourist Villa or Village. I can't sell because it just says Ville .. Says Citra. So is it the Citra hop? I don't know.
This must be a thing, and we've discussed this before. Someone else has checked it. Tim T. has checked in his late check-in. So I'm not sure why people do that. Why... So it must be that the next morning or whatever it is, you check it in because you've got checked in before. I mean, maybe you don't want people thinking that you're drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Adrian I, or it could be lowercase l, has said too much alcohol sweetness to score any higher and has rated it exactly the same as I rated it. So he knows what he's talking about.
James H. at Hop Dog Beer Works says, I thought Ella, but no, says Timbo Slice.
Yeah. Helen, so, our good friend Helen, has said sweet slash bitter and fruity, and has also rated it. So I think sweet and the rating that I gave it, I don't think I was much of a chore bacon as you insinuated.
You weren't a chore bacon because of your rating. Nothing.
I'm just a chore bacon.
That's right. Are we all. I didn't say the rest of us aren't.
For those of you who don't know what a chore bacon is, Google it. It's a real thing.
But it's kind of a theme for this season. It means an oaf, basically.
Yeah, it's a continuation of an earlier theme. We've just evolved it.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the chore bacons. I mean beers.
James V. Not sure. A bit peaty.
No.
I don't really get that.
No, there's no peat in there. Unless it means his mate Pete.
Yeah, in which case, well, that's we can't scary. Help there.
Yeah. Troy G. at Hop Dog Beer Works. What a great IPA! Exclamation mark. And what a great place. Tim, question mark. The owner brewery did what more should do. Inform, excite me, who's passionate about his beers, but did not tell you his name enough times. But that's very good to know that the owner is actually there and passionate about his beers.
And may or may not be called Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, if you're listening, get in touch.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned it, we will be up in Sydney for Craft Beer Week at the end of October.
We will be, 17th to 25th, at some stage.
At some stage during Craft Beer Week, yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Red orange and passion fruit. Okay, so I'm guessing Rory M. and Natalie J., even though they checked in on different days, were there together. Because they both said, well, one said passion fruit and blood orange, the other said blood orange and passion fruit. That is not a coincidence.
Well, at least they changed it up a little bit. All right. We need to move on, guys.
We need to move on?
What did we think about this?
Well, you know what I thought about it.
We said it again. It was earlier. It's like 2 minutes ago.
Not bad. Too sweet, though. 3.5.
Ooh, Christoph Scowl's back.
You see, for all that I said that chore bacon and pork rinds before I've read the rest of it, I actually agree with you completely. I think this is actually... It is too sweet for my liking. It's like one of those double IPAs that you drink and they're just really, really sweet because of the alcohol content, and they haven't...
You want the hop to
done enough with the bitterness to offset it. Still, I do like it. We'll drink again. 3.5.
I would drink it again, yeah.
See, it's not going to matter, but...
No, I'm putting the rating in now, so... Continue.
I give it a 4. I like it. I really like it. Wow. I don't think it's too sweet, but it's a sort of beer that I would choose to go out and buy.
Fair enough.
There you have it.
Fair enough.
But in the end, it's still a 3.5. Alrighty. And we're back, and we're on to beer number 2. And beer number 2 is... Well, I haven't been told what this is. Normally, I'm kind of told secretly, but not actually told at all.
No.
Now, I have no idea.
Well, I mean, there's only one, and you'll know what to do when I start. There's only one way to communicate what this beer is, and it starts with 25 years, and my life is still trying to get up that
great big hill. Oh no.
For a destination.
All right, now before they sue us. So I can guess that this has something to do with He-Man.
It because does.
For those listening at home who haven't heard that, that's based on, look it up on YouTube. It is the He-Man singing, He-Man, who's this 80s cartoon, singing the Four Non-Blondes' What's Going On.
What's Up? I believe it's the name of the song.
Yes, What's Up?
Whenever I search for it on YouTube, which is basically once a week, I just put What's Going On
That will always suffice, but it is called the Skeletor Stout.
The Skeletor Stout.
By a Dayton family.
And now I can actually look at the bottle?
Now you can look at the bottle.
Oh, whoa, that's scary as fuck.
So Skeletor, obviously being the mortal enemy of He-Man, is this beer's named after.
Well, I mean, if we're going Simpson style, then it's Skeletor in beer form.
That's right.
Skeletor in beer form.
Just like Pogs.
Is there an Elf beer?
Oh god, I wish there was.
Is there Elf in beer form?
There must be one.
Could we do a quick search?
We
haven't even sipped this.
We can detour.
Yeah, let's detour. While we detour, let's drink this beer.
It's not even the right word to use, detour. It's been a long week.
And it's Monday.
Well, I like to think that if there was an ALF beer, it would show up very early on when I typed ALF in.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't.
Well, there you go.
So
there are Nutella beers, but there's no ALF beer.
There's no ALF beer.
What does beer from Melmac taste like?
I don't know. But the bigger question is, maybe it's just that, you know, ALF's estate is, like, super protective.
Yeah. And if you didn't know now, after hearing all of us talk about He-Man and ALF, you know when we grew up.
Yes.
But
in the 40s.
On a slightly tangential point, there are malt beers.
Because ALF is not tangential at all.
Alrighty. Let's go back to the Skeletor. First impressions.
Nice.
I like it.
It's got... There's something
It's got a something in it.
Yeah, but it doesn't say. That's just a lot of He-Man references.
It's got a skeleton. Wow. Oh, can I read out the He-Man references?
You can.
Dainton, apologies.
Well, He-Dan.
He-Dan. And the crafters of the Bruniverse. I am Dan. Prince of the Pines. Defender of the secrets of Castle Beerskull. Okay, I get the drift.
Castle
Beerskull.
What?
What's this?
See, now you've really just sidetracked.
Now who's the chore maker?
Deary me. So I found out what it is that we are tasting. This is a Shiraz barrel aged stout.
Shiraz.
There it is.
Ah.
Or as they refer to Shiraz and Shiraz, Shiraz.
Shiraz. Yeah. Or as they refer to it in the US, Syrah.
Okay, we've been very, very pedantic tonight, haven't we?
All right. What are other less
pedantic? Been a long week.
What are other less pedantic people saying about this?
Well, they're not saying much. So they're not pedantic at all. Not a fan here. Simon at Destination Unknown. Not a fan of the tart sour flavor.
I think that's a Shiraz.
Des in Richmond gets a cola flavor. Question mark though. He's not sure if that's the flavor. Danica D at the Royston has said exactly what I agree.
Correct.
Wax tops are hard to get off. Double exclamation mark. Delicious stout.
So, Chris, just for your reference, you didn't see this, but there was a wax top on this beer.
Scotty spent a lot of frustrating moments.
Well, because I was sitting here for a while and I was sort of twiddling my thumbs and I'm thinking, well, they'll be back the beer at some point.
Mm.
And then now I understand why it took you guys so long.
Yeah, that's right. Ah. That's right. I almost had an opportunity to tangent onto another YouTube video clip just then when Paul mentioned Destination Unknown. Everyone should also check it.
All right. Back to reviews.
Oh, this has been chaos this week.
Chaos? No, we're not talking about Get Smart Villains. We're talking about He-Man Villains.
Sean B. in Narrowarren North.
Sean B.
Certainly an interesting brew. Their barrel aging adds a fruity touch to this. Still a slightly smoky, malty brew, but too fizzy.
It is fizzy.
It is fizzy.
But that's not a bad thing in this case, I don't think.
Alrighty. We actually need to finish this up. So what do we think about this?
I'm giving it a 4. I really, really like it. The barrel aging just adds that. Actually, like the other person said, the tart sourness to it, but it really works. It's just a nice stout, and it is fizzy, more fizzy than
There's
I usually like from a stout, but it works in this context. It's a great beer. Yeah, 4 stars.
I like it. I think 4 as well, not to just follow Paul tonight, but I think he's been surprisingly un-chore bacon-esque. So, you know, it's been spot
he's,
on the money.
He's breaking out of his chore bacon mould.
That's right. Yeah. Spot on the money.
I agree. I think there's a 4. It's good. It's solid. It is fizzy, but I don't mind the fizziness.
Oh, there we go.
We have unanimity.
The rare unanimity.
I think that's actually a word. I think
it is.
But it's definitely a word.
It is a word.
Well, you would know if it's a word.
But I think it's fair to say we all agree.
Yes.
Excellent.
That. Alrighty, people. That's it for this week. If you're in Melbourne, we need to remind you to get down to the Ale House Project at 9 a.m. on this Saturday morning, the 12th.
Yes. There will be lines.
There will be lines for the Nutella pop-up. There will be no Nutella beer because we only just came up with the idea, though apparently there's like 1,000 other Nutella beers.
Plus the pub won't be open.
But there will be awesome Nutella things. Check it out on City Lane.
Broadsheet, or news.com.au.
Metro.co.uk.
Or pretty much any reputable and sometimes disreputable news outlet. So, for another week, we have been the Brunswick Beer Collective. I've been Chris Shorten. With me has been Paul Christoph.
Until next time.
And Jeffrey Chee.
Good night.
Thank you, people.